Chapter 18. Dustin. It didn't matter that I couldn't get the things I'd done with Amy out of my mind, or that I couldn't find my footing now that I'd had her and wouldn't have her again, or that we both knew I'd only had her at all because I was the nearest willing, warm body. Ouch. The hottest sex I'd had in my life, with a woman I'd wanted like no other before her, and any cock that could stay up for a few minutes would have done her just fine. Yeah. Ouch. I tried not to think about it, tried and failed, but tried anyway, because personal history, short or otherwise, aside, we still had to work together. At least an edgy, traumatized horse made for a convenient distraction from the elephant in the living room, and after a week of quickly broken eye contact around the farm, Amy and I picked today to try riding Blue for the first time. He stood quietly while we groomed him. It took some work to pick out his hooves, not unusual with him or any mistreated walker for that matter. But with some patience and gentle persuasion, Amy convinced him to let her pick up each of his feet in turn and clean them out. When Blue was groomed and ready to be saddled, Amy and I exchanged apprehensive looks. It was always anyone's guess how the first ride on a horse like this would go. It could be perfectly smooth, it could be a disaster with serious injuries, or it could be somewhere in between. Amy held out her hand, and Blue nuzzled her palm.
How long did you say it's been since he's been ridden?
I shook my head. Don't know. McBride says he had him under saddle a few times over the winter, but...
You don't believe him?
Considering the man told me both horses were ready to be ridden, I scowled. No, I can't say I do.
Out of curiosity, she said, how did you get these two to begin with? I mean, what exactly is your arrangement with this McBride guy?
Long story short, a rescue facility down in California got hold of an entire barn full of walkers. They couldn't handle all of them, so a bunch of us took as many as we could off their hands. I took 3 yearlings and a 2-year-old who hadn't had a lot of training, and McBride and another guy took the rest.
And he is?
Another trainer, I said. We met at an auction a few years ago, both trying to pick up some horses to keep them from winding up at the slaughterhouse. Amy shuddered.
So you guys decided to work together on rescues?
I nodded. Eventually, the agreement was that McBride would ease them back into being handled. Once they could be ridden, I took them, finished them, sold them, and we split the money. I sighed, running my fingers through Blue's scraggly black mane. I think he was getting tired of putting all the work in for not a lot of money. You know, forgetting this was a rescue and not a goddamn gold mine.
Is any honest venture in this business?
She muttered. Exactly. I looked at Blue. Well, I guess we'll see if this one's ready now.
We can hope.
So far, it was promising, and when I went into the tack room to get my saddle, I was cautiously optimistic. He'd been calm and placid the entire time, and that lasted right up until the creak of saddle leather brought out the fire-breathing dragon. One squeak and the loud, sharp snort echoed down the aisle. I stepped out of the tack room with my saddle on my arm, and his eyes and nostrils were huge. Amy spoke softly to him as she put the saddle pad on his back. Snorting again, Blue sidestepped to the left, back to the right, back to the left, as much as the cross ties would allow. She stroked his shoulder, made sure the pad was straight, and then came up to stand beside his head. She held his halter in one hand and petted him with the other, talking to him the whole time. I lifted the saddle and brought it down carefully on his back. Another snort, but he stood still. Well, until I reached under him to get the cinch, at which point he stomped, very nearly bringing his hoof down on the toe of my boot. As the cinch touched his belly, he jerked his head away from Amy, swung it around, and snapped at me. Only the cross ties kept him from biting my arm.
Hey,
Amy said, keeping her voice firm enough to get his attention without scaring him.
No.
He snapped his teeth and pinned his ears, and she gave the lead a sharp jerk. He jumped, staring at her, but didn't go after either of us again.
Somebody's been taking lessons from Chip, I see, Amy said, petting his nose with the back of her hand. You haven't tried putting a saddle on that one.
Worse?
I threw her a look, and she grimaced. Yeah, I said. That bad.
Well, how about if we don't add that to our to-do list today?
She looked up at Blue.
I only have room for one grumpy ass in my schedule.
I chuckled and finished fastening the cinch. And now the other fun part.
Bit?
Yep.
Don't bother with the molasses, she said. He's gotten smart to that.
Figures. I raised an eyebrow at Blue. You're too smart for your own good, you know that? He just looked at me, ears up and big brown eyes, pleading innocence. Chuckling again, I petted his face before going into the tack room to get his bridle. Inside the room, out of Amy's sight, I paused to collect my thoughts. This was not a good time to be distracted by the woman I couldn't stop thinking about. Not a good time at all. We had a volatile, scared horse to deal with, and all it took was a moment of not paying attention and one of us would get hurt. But my God, Amy. Focus, King. Focus. I grabbed the bridle off the rack and went back out into the aisle. Naturally, when I tried to bit him up, Blue clenched his jaw. I slid my thumb into his mouth and pressed down on his gums, but he just bit down harder. Come on, buddy, I said. Just open your mouth. He kept his teeth tightly together.
We could always try a bozal, Amy said.
Oh, he'll take it. I pressed a little harder on his gums. He's just stubborn about...
Right then, Blue opened his mouth and let me put in the bit.
In spite of my efforts to avoid it, the bit clicked against one of his teeth, but he still accepted it. He chewed the bit as I put the bridle over his head, and he didn't protest as I fastened the throat latch and cavesson straps.
Okay, well, Amy said. If he gives us trouble in the future, maybe we should see how he does with a bozal or a hackamore. Maybe he just doesn't like his mouth messed with.
Possible, I said. I swear to God, every horse that's come from that farm is near impossible to bit up, at least in the beginning. Don't know what those fuckers did to their mouths, but... Amy shuddered.
I don't even want to think about it. Do they usually get over it after you've worked with them a while?
Eventually. I gathered Blue's reins and unclipped the cross ties. But you never know if it's going to take one lesson or 50 before they finally decide they're okay with it. Once he was bridled and ready to go, we let Blue stand for a moment, just chewing quietly on the bit and wearing the saddle. Now that everything was on, buckled, and not hurting him, he quieted down pretty quickly. In fact, within 4 or 5 minutes, he'd gone from agitated to almost completely calm. Maybe this will be easier than I thought, I said.
Maybe, she said. But I'm not counting those chickens until they've ridden a few laps. He could still dump me on my ass before this is over.
I clicked my tongue and shook my head. Well, such a pessimist.
You want to get on instead?
Hey, you're the one who's been working with him.
Now, who's not so optimistic?
Amy took the reins from me.
So, where do we do this?
I'm thinking the round pen, I said. Less room for him to go anywhere if he freaks out.
Except the round pen has been known to make him freak out, she said. I've taken him in there a few times and he's only just gotten to where he's sort of okay with it.
Still, I'd rather keep him contained, just in case he decides to bolt.
Probably a good plan.
Amy led him out of the barn. I walked behind them. And I'd have been lying if I said I wasn't taking advantage of the chance to look her up and down. Her tucked-in t-shirt and clingy jeans taunted me, holding on to her curves and her skin while I closed my fists at my sides and pretended my fingers didn't itch just thinking about touching her again. She couldn't even imagine how much she frustrated me, how much I wanted her, and how having her once, several times, had only made me crave her more. And a hard-on is not going to help anything right now. I focused on the horse instead, on the volatile horse who needed both of our attention so none of us got killed. All the way down the aisle and out the door, Blue was steady and calm. In fact, he was fine right up until we got to the round pen. When I opened the gate, he balked He frantically chomped the bit. His eyes were wide, the whites showing, and sweat already dampened the edges of his saddle pad.
"Easy, sweetie,"
Amy said softly, letting him inspect the open gate. I tried not to visibly shiver as I watched her hand stroking Blue's neck, because I had no trouble whatsoever remembering what her hands felt like on me.
"Christ, Amy, if you think you're a mess, you should hear everything that's going on in my head these days."
Oblivious to my thoughts, she murmured to Blue,
"Just take it easy."
He sniffed around, snorted, pawed at the ground. After a minute or two of coaxing, though, Amy got him to walk into the round pen. She led him around it, and after a few laps in each direction, he'd relaxed as much as Blue ever relaxed when he was being worked.
"I think he's ready," she said. "Let's do this."
She led him to the middle of the pen and laid his reins over his neck. Then I held the reins closer to his bit, and she stood beside him. He wasn't happy when she tightened the cinch and tried to bite her, but I kept his head out of range. Of course, then he tried to bite me, which I corrected as firmly as I could, without startling him, and sending this whole operation 2 steps forward and 10 steps back. Amy was in no hurry. She pushed down on the stirrup with her hand, watching his reaction as she did. To my surprise, he didn't freak out, just turned his head a little and looked at her. Then she reached up and grabbed the saddle horn and pommel, tugging them, wiggling them, gauging how he'd react to pressure on or movement of the saddle. He still stayed calm.
"This looks promising so far."
She looked at me and smiled.
"Wish me luck."
I smiled back. "Good luck." I held Blue's reins in one hand and stroked his face with the other. Amy put her foot in the stirrup, then slowly and carefully hoisted herself up. As she swung her other leg over, Blue suddenly snorted and crow-hopped to the side, nearly crashing into me and sending Amy to the ground. She landed with a grunt. He freaked out even more.
"Easy, Blue."
I glanced back and forth between him and Amy as I tried to calm him and make sure she was okay, not to mention keep him from stepping on her. She obviously wasn't too badly hurt, though, because she was on her feet with her clothes dusted off and her baseball cap straightened out before I'd fully settled Blue.
"You're all right?" I asked, just to be sure.
"Yeah."
She dusted her jeans off a little more.
"Ready to try again?"
Pretending my heart rate hadn't shot through the roof and still hadn't come back down yet, I said, "You tell me."
"I'm fine,"
she nodded at Blue.
"What about him?"
"He came back to Earth," I said. "Should be all right."
"Good. Take 2.
And take 3, and 4, and 5. If not for the dirt on her clothes and face, I'd never have known Amy had hit the ground once. Never mind almost 6 times. She got up each time like it was nothing, and once we'd calmed Blue down, she tried again. She bounced back each time without much more than a wince, while my blood pressure went crazy every damn time until I was absolutely sure she was okay.
"I'm not so sure he's ready to take a rider,"
she said after the 5th time.
"Yeah, maybe not," I said. "You want to call it a day or try a few more times?"
She shook some dirt out of her ponytail.
"Maybe 2 or 3. He seems to respond okay to new things once he's seen it won't hurt him, but it usually takes a few tries before he gets that through his head."
"True, but I don't want you getting hurt in the process."
"Dirt's soft," she said with a wave of her hand.
Yeah, but the fence isn't." I gestured at the 5-foot metal fence encircling us. She grinned.
"Then I'll make sure to aim for the dirt and not the fence."
"God, Amy, if you get hurt." But I shrugged and said,
"All right, your call."
Blue didn't even let her get her foot in the stirrup this time. He jerked away, throwing his head, but I kept a grip on the rope. Thrashing and snorting, he stomped and sidestepped, and even as Amy scrambled to her feet, he was going to step on her if he kept this up. I gave the rope a sharp tug to get his attention in the same instant his rump hit the fence, which startled him and sent him lunging forward. As I tried to get him back under control, he shoved me sideways and my elbow cracked against the metal rail, sending lightning all the way to my fingertips. I swore, but under my breath so I didn't agitate him further, and gave another tug to get his attention. He stopped. His front feet were apart like he was bracing against something, preparing for another reason to freak out. "Easy, bud," I said, approaching slowly with my hand out. He eyed me warily, and when I touched his neck, his skin twitched like an insect had just landed on him. "Take it easy," I said quietly. As I petted him, my fingers still tingling, he slowly calmed down. His eye whites no longer showed, his nostrils no longer flared, and his stance was more relaxed.
"Well, that was fun," Amy dusted herself off. "How is he?"
"He's fine." I glanced at her as I walked him in circles. "What about you?"
"I'm good. Dirt's still nice and soft."
"There is that." I looked over my shoulder as I continued leading Blue around the pen. "You want to try again?"
"Of course I do."
"We can take a break," I said, "if you need."
"As long as he's not too riled up," she said. "I'd rather keep trying. No need to stop for my benefit."
"All right." I stopped him in the center of the pen. "Well, he's quieted down now, so..."
"Let's do this."
She petted his neck for a moment, probably making doubly sure he'd really calmed down. Then she gave me a slight nod, and we tried once again. Foot in the stirrup, Blue didn't move. Other foot off the ground, the horse tensed a little. Leg over his back, Blue's eyes widened. But he didn't move. Slowly, Amy started to come down into the saddle, easing herself into place. And Blue reared. He went straight up, jerking the reins out of my hand, and before his front feet were back on the ground, the sound of Amy hitting the metal fence, then the ground, sent my stomach into my throat. I settled Blue enough to keep him from endangering either of us and kept a hand on his neck as I turned to check on her. She'd crumpled beside the fence, and she didn't move for a few unnerving seconds. Panic rippled through me, and I glanced at Blue. Shit, I needed to help her, but I couldn't let him loose, especially not while she was on the ground. Reins in one hand, I led him toward her. "Amy, you all right?" She eased herself upright, eyes screwed shut and lips contorted. She leaned against the fence and held her side with one arm. Still holding the reins, I knelt beside her and put a hand on her shoulder. "You okay?" She gave a thumbs up, and I realized she was holding her breath. "Amy." Her lips parted, and she slowly exhaled.
"I'm fine."
She opened her eyes.
"Just knocked the wind out of me."
She spat in the dirt, and when she wiped the corner of her mouth with the back of her hand, the thin smear of red sent a chill down my spine. "Oh, shit," I said. "Are you..."
"It's okay."
She spat again.
"Just bit my tongue."
Blue tugged on the reins, so I stood and petted him to keep him calm while Amy was on the ground. "How bad do you hurt?" She raised an eyebrow.
"Feeling pretty spectacular, anywhere I hit metal or dirt, if that helps."
"You know what I mean. Anything that needs attention?"
"Nothing serious."
She extended her hand and beckoned like she wanted me to help her up.
"I can walk it off."
"You sure?" She beckoned again. I extended my hand and we clasped our hands around each other's forearms. Even when she was on her feet, I didn't let go right away, not until I was sure she was steady. This was one of the few times touching her didn't rouse any kind of response in me beyond just making sure she was all right. I knew all too well how easily a fall like that could do some serious damage. My heart pounded and my stomach twisted. God, if she got hurt because of my horse.
"I'm okay,"
she said in a half-strangled voice.
"I'm fine."
I let her go, cool relief rushing through my veins and slowly bringing my heart rate down. She kept one arm close to her side, brushing dirt off her clothes with the other hand. Moving slowly, she bent to pick up her baseball cap, and after she'd shaken some dirt out of her hair, she put the hat back on. While I held Blue's reins and made sure he was quieted down, Amy walked around the open pen. She obviously didn't want to limp, but her gait faltered every time she put weight on her right leg. "How bad is it?" I asked. "Your leg?" She made even more effort to hide the limp.
"Probably a lot better than it's going to be in a few hours."
"Meaning?" She glanced at me, smirking.
"I'm fine, Dr. Worrywart. Nothing's broken, and nothing's bleeding."
"I'm just making sure."
"Relax."
She gingerly bent and straightened her arm, the bill of her hat not quite hiding the way she winced with every motion. About the time I was going to suggest she sit for a little while, she squared her shoulders and looked me in the eye.
"Ready to try again?"
I blinked. "Maybe we should call it..."
"I'm fine, Dustin," she said. "I want to try again."
"With as sore as you obviously are?"
"I'll be a lot sorer later. Might as well give it a go now while I can still move."
I eyed her, then chuckled and shook my head. "Tough girl, eh?" "I am so glad you're okay. Remind me never to get in a bar brawl with you." She laughed.
"Smart man."
Between Amy's mild but sore injuries and Blue's agitation, we decided to call it a day and give him a few days before we tried again. We put him away and then went up to my side of the duplex so she could recuperate a little. Amy reclined against a stack of cushions, and I handed her an ice pack over the back of the couch.
"Thanks."
She gingerly pressed it against her elbow. "You just needed one more, right?" She nodded.
"Yeah, for my leg. Everything else is fine."
"You sure?" I pulled another ice pack out of the freezer. "I've got plenty more if you need them."
"I'm fine, I promise."
She eyed me over the back of the couch as I closed the freezer door.
"It's just a few bumps and bruises."
"Yeah, but that last fall."
"I've had worse, trust me."
"Still..." I wrapped a towel around the second pack. "Any swelling or anything?" She lifted the ice pack and looked at her elbow.
"It's a little puffy. To be expected, I think."
Wincing, she pressed the ice against it again. "Are you sure you don't want to have it looked at?" I handed her the pack, just to be on the safe side.
"I'm fine,"
she grinned.
"How far do you think I'd get in this business if I was a delicate fucking flower?"
I laughed. "Okay, but even a tough girl's bones can crack if she lands hard enough." She smiled up at me.
"I'm fine, Dustin."
She held the second ice pack and looked at her leg, then the pack she had pressed against her arm.
This could get interesting.
"Here, let me..." I pulled a chair up next to the couch and took the pack from her. I pressed it gently against her leg and she sucked in a breath. Raising my eyebrows, I said, "You okay?" Amy nodded.
"It's bruised all to hell, just be careful."
"I will." I tried to think about nothing but the ice under my fingers, along with the dull ache that came from the intense cold, and not how close I was sitting to her. I didn't even know what I wanted now. If this was stubbornly persistent lust, or if I just wanted to be able to hold her because, thank God, she was all right. She closed her eyes and rested her head against the pillow. The ice pack in her hand crinkled softly as she shifted it a little, and her lips tightened for a second before she got comfortable. Without opening her eyes, she said,
"So you keep a freezer fully stocked with ice packs? Use them often?"
I laughed. "Are you kidding? I work with babies and abuse cases all day."
"Good. I feel better now."
"Come on," I said. "You didn't think you were the only one to get banged up out there, did you?"
"No, but sometimes it's good to remind myself."
She opened her eyes and smirked.
"Call it icing my bruised pride plus a little schadenfreude."
I chuckled. "Considering how many times you dusted yourself and got back on, I would think your pride should be the only thing that isn't bruised. And I'm lucky you didn't give me heart failure 5 times over out there."
Yeah, well...
She shifted a bit, swearing under softly. Then, nodding toward the ice pack on her arm, she said,
So tell me about some of the times you've had to use these.
Wouldn't your bruised pride feel better after hearing about the times I was in a cast?
Times?
She raised an eyebrow.
Plural? Oh, do tell.
Sadist, I muttered. She grinned.
Only when I'm in pain. Come on, tell me about your mishaps.
Well, there was one nasty one back when I used to do team roping, I said. A few years ago, we were at regionals. I was the healer and my buddy was the header. He'd already gotten the rope on the steer. I was getting ready to throw my own rope and the steer suddenly decides he's having none of it. Amy's eyes widened.
That doesn't sound good.
No. The steer suddenly went right when we thought he was going to keep going straight, and I waved my free hand. Hell, I'm not even sure what exactly happened, and we didn't get it on video. The steer went one way. I couldn't stop or turn in time. My horse got tangled up in my buddy's rope, and my horse and I both hit the dirt. She grimaced again.
Oh, shit.
Somehow, my buddy and his horse didn't join us, but my horse and I both ate dirt.
Was the horse okay?
I eyed her. Gee, thanks.
Hey, you're here and kicking,
she said with a half shrug.
It's pretty obvious you were fine.
Okay, fair enough, I said. And he was okay, too. It was scary as hell, though. One second I see the rope in front of us, and the next thing I know I'm limping out of the arena with my arms around two other guys' shoulders while my dad's leading my horse out.
But you could walk. That's a good sign.
I got lucky, believe me. And I'm kind of okay with the fact that I don't remember anything between seeing the rope and leaving the arena.
Yeah, I would be too.
Fun stuff, am I right? I nodded at the pack on her leg. Is this still comfortable?
Comfortable being a relative term, yes.
She adjusted the ice pack on her arm.
So you could walk, but how many bones did you break?
Not a one. I chuckled, shaking my head. I know the horse at least landed on top of my leg, but somehow or another I didn't break a thing. I was sore as hell for a few days, but otherwise not a scratch. She threw me a playful scowl.
I thought you were going to tell me about the times you were in casts.
Yeah, I'm getting to that. I switched hands on the ice pack, since my fingers were getting cold. So, I survived that without a scratch, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, that winter, Dad and I are breaking up ice in the water tubs out in the pastures. Amy snickered.
Oh God, I think I see where this is going.
Laughing, I nodded. Stepped on a piece of ice that was sitting on another piece of ice, went ass over tea kettle and broke my arm in two places. She snorted, wincing slightly.
No way.
Dead serious.
Isn't that how it always happens?
You too, huh?
Well, not exactly the same way.
She threw me a devilish smirk.
I've managed to make it through my career without ever having my ass kicked by a piece of ice.
I glanced at the ice pack in my hand, then eyed her.
It's not too late for that, you know. I'm kidding.
Amy giggled. I laughed. So do you feel better about wearing a few ice packs after crashing into a fence?
Much, yes,
she said.
And I've had a few scary falls myself.
Such as?
Oh, you know, getting unloaded, trying to break a youngster to saddle. Flighty X-ray horses, getting me intimately acquainted with arena walls, stuff like that.
She turned her arm so the ice pack was between her elbow and the couch, freeing up her other hand, which was rested behind her head.
Scariest one, hands down, was at a hunter jumper show about 5 years ago.
Yeah? Something twisted in my chest. This was a dangerous business, and obviously whatever happened hadn't left her any worse for the wear in the long run. That didn't stop me from shuddering at the mere thought of something more serious than today's incident. Still, I asked, so what happened? Amy fidgeted a little, winced, and then spoke.
I was on this warm blood mare who was the most amazing jumper. Seriously, this horse won every title in the book shy of an Olympic medal. Once she got past the initial training, she never refused to jump. Never.
Why do I get the feeling she broke that streak? Amy nodded, rolling her eyes.
God, did she ever. We went to this show, and she had just nailed every course so far. She'd won every class, and all we had left was the championship. Last jump of the last course. She refuses. Amy sighed. And of course, I'd long since started taking it for granted that she'd go over any jump I pointed her at, and she waited until the last possible second to refuse it. So I was so not expecting it.
So what happened?
She stopped, and I kept going.
Amy fidgeted a little, quite possibly shuddering at the memory.
I went right into the jump, took out half the poles, and landed on my neck.
I pulled in a breath. Oh, ow.
Yeah, upshot is I got to ride in a helicopter for the first time.
They airlifted you?
I whistled. Wow, you must have been in bad shape.
Real bad, she said. I don't even remember the helicopter or any of that.
So how bad was it? Obviously you didn't wind up dead or paralyzed, but...
I cracked my collarbone and a few ribs and had one hell of a concussion, she said. But my spine was fine. I was out of the saddle for a few weeks and couldn't jump until the vertigo cleared up 3 or 4 months later. But all things considered, I'll take it.
No kidding. Lust was definitely taking a back seat tonight, making way for the knowledge that if she'd landed just a little differently, maybe just a little harder, or at a slightly different angle, she wouldn't be here. I'd never have known her at all, and that was something I simply couldn't fathom tonight. I cleared my throat. Well, now you know why I think you jumpers are insane. Amy laughed.
This from the man who nearly broke his neck catching a running steer with a piece of string? At least jumps don't move.
Okay, fair enough, I said, chuckling. But you fall a lot farther going over a 6-foot jump than you do chasing a cow.
Well, at least we wear helmets,
says the woman who got a concussion anyway. She arched an eyebrow.
Good thing I was wearing it then, isn't it, cowboy?
Touché, I laughed. I could tell you more stories, believe me, I have a few, and at least 3 ended with ambulance rides.
Any helicopters?
Nope. She gave a haughty sniff.
Amateur.
I laughed. Well, do me a favor. Don't sign up for any helicopter rides while you're here, all right? She saluted with 2 fingers.
I'll do my best.
Good. I've got ICE on standby, but it takes about 30 minutes at best for an ambulance to get here, just so you know.
Now you tell me.
She adjusted her ice pack. Her expression turned more serious, and she met my eyes.
So do you think we can get Blue back under saddle? I mean, do you think he'll ever take a rider without...
She gestured at the 2 packs. Eventually. I've worked with horses way worse off than him, with good results. I carefully adjusted the ice pack on her leg. You just never know what it's going to take for a given horse to have that breakthrough. Amy sat up a little, pulling in a hiss of breath through her teeth as she tried to move her leg.
Well, give me a few days to walk all this off, and I'll be happy to keep working with him.
I nodded. Great. He seems to really like you. I hesitated, and my heart sank a little as I quietly added, Except, you're not planning on staying here forever. We both know that.
I know.
She thumbed the edge of her ice pack.
But it's been a long time since I've clicked with a horse like this. And it seems like he's so close to something. Some kind of breakthrough. I kind of feel like I owe it to him to see this through, you know?
I'd be thrilled if you did.
Even if every day you're here drives me a little crazier.
You've come farther with him than I would have in the same amount of time. Amy said nothing. I watched her silently for a moment, searching her expression for something I wasn't even sure I could define. Then, you really haven't connected to a horse like this in a while, have you? Slowly, she shook her head.
I can't even remember the last time I did.
Closing her eyes, she leaned back against the pillows.
I hate even having to admit that.
It's nothing to be ashamed of, I said. Burnout happens.
It wasn't just burnout,
she whispered and opened her eyes again.
It's what happens when you do what you love as a profession and let yourself forget why you loved it in the first place.
I can imagine, I said. Believe me,
I've been afraid of that happening for a long time.
I don't think you have to worry about it.
What do you mean? A slight smile curved her lips.
Dustin, I've watched you work with the horses. You don't have dollar signs in your eyes whenever you see them.
Did you?
No,
she sighed.
But I was married to someone who did, and I think I let myself get caught up in it.
Mind if I ask something personal?
Go ahead.
What was your marriage to Sam like? I asked. In the beginning, I mean. Amy sighed.
It was never great,
she said.
Not as bad as it was the last few years, but...
Why did you marry him? She sank deeper into the pillows and looked up at the ceiling.
At the risk of sounding like a spineless wimp who can't make her own decisions, because I felt like I had no choice.
How do you mean? She took a deep breath, wincing and trying to get comfortable as she did.
Sam had the business expertise, I had the horse sense, and he was convinced that if we worked together, we could build the business we were both dreaming of. He had visions of building something from the ground up and turning it into something huge. I'd always dreamed of a state-of-the-art facility, horses as far as the eye could see, going to and winning national-level competitions.
She sighed.
And I think that was what we were both in love with, not each other. What we could create together as business partners, not what we could be together as husband and wife.
She paused, lifting the ice pack off her elbow.
I think this one's melted.
Yeah, this one's warming up too. I picked up the one off her leg and reached for the other. Stay here, I'll get a couple more.
Thanks,
she said. I got up and went to the kitchen. While I was alone for a minute, I paused to collect my thoughts like I had in the tack room earlier. Talking about her husband like this, it didn't sit quite well, mostly because I wasn't sure why I'd asked about him. To feel her out and figure out where she stood with his ghost, to figure out where I stood, except we'd already established where everyone stood, and it should have been a moot point. It was a moot point. I thought it was, anyway. Didn't I?
I'm going out of my mind.
No two ways about it. With two fresh ice packs in hand, I came back, handing one to her before taking my seat again and carefully pressing the second against her leg. Feeling any better? I asked.
A little,
she smiled.
Thank you, by the way.
Hey, my horse threw you into a fence, I said. Seems like the least I could do. She laughed.
Well, it's much appreciated either way.
Anytime. Her smile faded a little.
So, I was saying about Sam.
Right, go on. Her eyes lost focus, but after a moment she said,
Honestly, it wasn't the way he treated me that made me resent him as much as I did. Yeah, I hated him when he did it, and I shouldn't have tolerated it for as long as I did. And there's no excuse for him ever laying a hand on me, but what made me really loathe him was what he did to my love of horses.
Is that right? Amy nodded.
Sam was obsessed with living out his dream of creating this successful business, and I became a cog in the machine of that dream. Whenever things weren't going well, it was my fault, and I needed to work harder and take on more clients and turn out champions faster.
She rolled her eyes and clicked her tongue.
Whatever it was my fault. And after a few years, I didn't just resent him, I resented the horses. They weren't my dream anymore, they weren't anything to me anymore. If anything, they were a means to making his dreams real. Then one day I realized I didn't even resent them anymore. When I looked at them, I felt nothing.
She looked at me. And in her eyes, where there hadn't been anything but mild frustration after she'd been dumped over and over this afternoon, now there was a hint of extra wetness.
Nothing at all. And above everything else, I hated him for that.
Wow, I whispered. I can't even imagine. She shifted against the cushions, swearing softly. Before I could ask if she wanted to change position to something more comfortable, she said,
So what made you start working with abused horses?
I kept my gaze focused on the ice pack in my hand. Oh, it was kind of a natural progression.
How so?
I moistened my lips. You know that kid who brings home every injured bird? Or the guy who picks up a limping stray dog and takes it to the vet and shells out $300 to fix his leg?
That's you?
I nodded. Amy smiled.
Pity there aren't more guys like you, especially in this business.
My cheeks burned, and I laughed softly as I focused on the ice pack again. Yeah, well, it's not exactly good for business, but I just can't let an injured or traumatized animal go, you know?
Yeah, I know what you mean.
She didn't say anything for a moment. Then, speaking softly, she said,
You don't see many trainers who still have as much compassion for horses as you do.
When I looked up, I realized she was avoiding my eyes, too. But she slowly raised her gaze and met mine as she added,
Seems like the business just sucks that right out of everyone.
Yeah, it can do that, I said.
Can I offer a word of advice?
I raised my eyebrows. Go ahead.
Don't ever let the business take that from you,
she said, almost whispering.
Because you have no idea how difficult it is to get it back.
Just as quietly, I said, I'll remember that.